was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, not Resurrect the Democracy. Resurrect the Republic. I heard another congressman using the word democracy the other day, and I almost blew a fuse. We are a republic because the protection of the individual supersedes the, well, whatever's good for the collective. We are not the Borg. We are Americans. I want to thank Tom for being with us tonight. I want to thank Lori for being with us. Thank you all for joining us on Resurrect the Republic. And we are going to get right back into the discussion with Wes in Idaho. Now, Wes, be nice, okay? I know you got a different take than our guests, so I'm going to let you guys, have a discussion. And let's keep it all kind of polite and friendly, okay? Wes from Idaho, go ahead, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ from the land of milk and honey. vaccinations, I have 35 books on the subject. I've given away 4,000 vaccination fact sheet cards. I have attended every seminar I could possibly. I believe I was given multiple sclerosis on the same day that Kennedy was shot, November 22nd, 1963, by an allergy shot. I want to get around to commenting on diet, too. But first, I want to ask Tom a couple of questions to find out where he is at, and I hope I get simple answers, and everybody check up on what I'm going to point out. Now, Tom, what is the cause of smallpox? Please tell me.
Cowpox.
Oh, do you know of a Dr. Campbell, a Texas doctor who in 1931 discovered smallpox was caused by a bed bug? I'm looking at the internet right now.
Yes, I know that one too well.
That is why hygiene and sanitation were so effective back in the 19th century, because he's got here is caused by Samix lectorius. He's also the guy that discovered how to colonize bats in order to destroy malaria-causing mosquitoes. Next question is...
Okay, wait a minute. You want me to answer it?
Answer? Go ahead. Tell me about Campbell, how he's... erroneous in saying it's caused by a bed bug?
Well, that's a good way to keep you from knowing where the smallpox come from. If I blame it on an insect, by the way, where did the insect get it from?
I never asked the insect. I'm asking Tom. I know that, like I said, sanitation was very effective back in the 19th century to get rid of smallpox because it was the cause. This bed bug is the cause of smallpox. According to what
so
I'm
how
reading,
come
I can believe it. Go ahead.
Okay. How come humanity's still alive? Because we've had bed bugs since the beginning of time.
Well, we developed washing machines, and we developed sprays, and like I said, hygiene has improved greatly. But okay, you know, well, let's go on to the next subject, please. Where do we
Well, I'm going to tell you, hold on. Let me get an answer out for those who are hearing me. Bed bugs are not the source of smallpox.
Okay.
Cows are the source of smallpox.
Okay.
Here's the problem with bed. Here's the problem with bed bugs.
I wish I could change the internet here and have Tom on this spot instead of Campbell. Go ahead.
Well, let me tell you, it's like with Weston Price and with Sally Fallon. You follow the money. Who employed them? Who allowed them to give you the information they gave you? It's like going to the Sloan Kettering Foundation and asking for a cure for cancer. Sally Fallon is paid by the American Beef Growers Association, Weston Price, her mentor, right? They give you the information that benefits the industry and medicine. And when you blame Lyme's disease onto a tick instead of the chicken, then Purdue keeps on selling you chickens. And when you blame smallpox onto a bed bug, you keep on having your hamburger and steak and your milk.
Right.
And that livestock industry in history has been the most profitable industry. So they don't want to tell you the truth about the source of the disease because you'll be ruining an industry and another industry.
I was hoping for a simple answer because I want to go quickly. Can I go to the next question, please? I got your opinion on the issue.
It's not an opinion.
Okay. Where do we get the English word pharmacy from? Can you tell me?
The Greek pharmakia.
Pharmacia. Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
Eric, that's not fair. I wanted Tom to answer.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't want to play stump the guest either. And Tom, I wanted to throw that in there. So I
want to know if Tom knew.
Okay.
I sure know. And by the way, what's more important to me, Wes, is telling you facts. I don't want to do the semantics game. What the doctor does to you. That's what the doctor does to you. He tells you a stupid name that you don't understand, and so you think, oh, wow, he's the professional. He knows everything. But you still end up with MS. You still end up with the disease. People go to their doctor, and they still die of the stupid disease. Why don't you change your life and put MS behind you?
Would you please stop interrupting me?
No, I'm going to tell you. You want to hear?
You got to continue to interrupt me. What am
Hello?
I doing here on this phone?
Guys, y'all take turns, please. And remember that it's okay to have differing opinions, but put your opinions out there.
He's got facts. I don't only have opinions. Can you tell me what the word pharmakia means, Tom?
You already heard it from Eric.
No, I'm 76.
I don't want to spend my life talking about words. I want to tell you what's real.
Oh, okay. You do not know the meaning of the Greek word.
You can say whatever you want. Eric, let me put this in. Does he have a computer? Does he know how to get into the website? Look at gassingamerica.com. Okay, hold on, Wes. Listen, go into gassingamerica.com. Tell me I'm full of bullshit on that.
We're not talking about that. I'm not trying to talk to you about that subject. Is that right?
We're the CDC. The CDC came to my side. Why did they do that? Because they know who I am.
I want to talk, if I could, about vaccinations and diet. And I'll make it real quick if you quit interrupting me. Now, the word...
But don't call me an idiot, please. I'm tired of that.
I did
yes,
not.
You did.
Please, give
yes.
me some...
Let him talk, and that's enough.
Go ahead, you guys.
The Greek word pharmakia means sorcery, witchcraft, and poison, okay?
Now, that's right.
I guess I was, and Tom didn't know.
I did know.
Why didn't you give it to me?
Let's get up. That's okay. It's a minor thing. I'm sure that Tom has heard that before, but in his bevy of knowledge, he can't pull everything out of the file like it's the internet out of his brain, and neither can I. I mean, I get tripped up, and once in a while, it takes me a couple seconds to review or remember something. So let's not get bogged down in whether he knew the definition. You're in agreement. He knows it's witchcraft and sorcery and magic. You know, pharmakia means witchcraft, sorcery, and magic. So do I, and so do most of the listeners. So. You know, I don't think we're in disagreement on that. So let's move forward, Wes.
Please, I only want 60 seconds, the next 60 seconds to make some comments, and I'll get the heck out of here. Number one, I guess I was born defective. I've got four canine teeth. I do not have two stomachs, and I do not chew the cud. Now, I want to bring up the subject of a Viljamer Stefansson, who is on the internet, Wikipedia. There's a story about him. He was a Harvard PhD, and he is on the 22-cent stamp they gave him in honor. He's called the Arctic Explorer. And about 100 years ago, he went up to the Arctic and lived with the Eskimos, and he ate.
Oh, here we go.
Hunted with the Eskimos back then, and when he came back, they said, oh my, you must have scurvy and plugged arteries. All you ate is caribou and fish, and they tested him. They said, he's got good health. They were so interested in this. In 1928, they had a test on him, observed him for an entire year where he ate nothing but meat. And at the end of a year of this observed study, they said, gosh, he's got perfectly good health. The only thing abnormal about him, get this, it's right on Wikipedia for all of you to find, Viljamer Stefansson. They found the only abnormal thing about him after eating meat for a year was that his stools were
small. Did not stink.
And they did not stink. So I guess you vegetarians want tooth decay and braces for your teeth and diabetes and heart disease. They don't have that up there, the Eskimos either. And you also want your poop to stink. Goodbye.
Okay, on that note, we'll say goodbye to Wes. Wes, thanks for calling. Always entertaining as usual. Let me respond to that. Notice what... and. Look, I'll tell you right now, I eat meat occasionally. I've learned from Tom to cook it really well and some other things about safe handling, which can really mitigate the transfer of any pathogens or toxins.
And the fact that you pet your dogs.
Right. And I live with my dogs and I sleep with them and their hair is everywhere. And I've heard about that before from a few people. But, hey, guess what? The dog hair kept me healthy, folks. So, all right. So here's the deal. Notice how Wes said caribou and fish. Tom is really talking about, you know, those are clean meats up there. The caribou and the fish, you're not going to have. These do not come from the industry feedlot giant mass producers like Purdue and the other big meat, the big livestock industry. That's it. A lot of these toxins and pathogens are endemic of the industry and the poor maintenance of the farms and the greed and the mass production and the lack of organic feed and the introduction and the unclean conditions that the animals are in, and many times inhumane. You've seen exposés on that from investigative reports where the animals are not treated well at all. I mean, forget about just killing them so we can eat them. They're mistreated along the way. They get sick. They get all kinds of diseases. Well, guess what? Up in Alaska in the pristine environment, your caribou and your freshwater fish, I mean, granted, I know the toxins from Fukushima and geoengineering are circulating throughout the planet, but at least in previous years before it got heavy, and still in some areas, you have a much cleaner meat supply and a cleaner fish supply than you do buying it from giant pools or ponds in China or South America where the tilapia and the shrimp are just raised in almost sewage pits. So once again, you know, the quality of the meat and fish they're eating up there with the Eskimos is top of the, as good as you're going to get. It's clean as a whistle as you can get in the food supply. You're talking about a more or less pristine environment with decent quality food coming out of it. So that's going to have a lot to do with the Eskimos. And plus, they've lived off that diet for centuries, if not thousands of years. And the people in that region are adapted to it. They probably have resistance to certain things that are toxic in their food supply. And, you know, the benefits of certain things that are healthy. And so, yeah, you're going to get segments of indigenous populations that eat a lot of meat, a bird. But they know how to handle their stuff. They get passed down along the generations how to take care of your meat and make it cleaner, keep the toxins from transferring, you know, into your body, cook it real well, safe handling.
Eric?
And herbs, especially in South America, herbs and plants that mitigate and battle any of the toxins and pathogens that might enter your body. Go ahead, Tom.
One thing Wes forgot to learn and tell you and the public is the life expectancy of an Eskimo. I have a nephew who married an Eskimo girl. Their marriage did not last very long. She could not tolerate being down here, and she went back up to Alaska. She's already dead. See, they don't tell you the whole truth. Sure, they don't have scurvy because they eat the animal raw. The vitamin C from the animals that animal ate, going all the way back to the land, because there's no vitamin C produced in an animal. So what do the bears eat up there? They eat the fish. What do the fish eat? They eat the other fish, and they eat the other fish, and they eat the seaweed. Where did the seaweed and the fish get their vitamin C? They got it from the vegetable matter coming off of the land.
Mm-hmm.
So that vitamin C collects and concentrates in the liver of each animal down that step or up that step through the food chain. So the Eskimos do not die of scurvy or rickets because they eat the raw animal tissues, including the livers, when it's certain animals. Some bears, they won't do it because they're toxic.
So their resistance and their vitamin levels and uptakes increase, and so but they're paying the price down the road
in the shortened life,
right?
Because along with those vitamins and minerals that the bear has collected from the fish and the fish from the land runoff, not only do they get the vitamins and the nutrients that are good with that animal, but they're getting the hormones of the animal. You see, here's an issue that we didn't discuss, and it's the hormone overloading that happens when you eat lots of animal. And if your liver's already experiencing bypass, those hormones end up in you. And in the case of the Eskimos, they do suffer the damage to the liver because they're constantly eating meat. And remember what he said, their poop is small and their poop does not stink? Imagine what the intestinal tract of an Eskimo looks like. I don't have to imagine. They die early because of the digestive damage done because their primary nutrient source is meat. They also die early because they're overloaded with estrogen, progesterone, prolactin, testosterone, epinephrine, adrenaline, all the thyroxine, everything that comes out of that animal's tissue. They're taking those hormones into their body. It shoves their metabolism fast forward. By the way, that's a benefit if you're living at, you know, basically zero or lower, right? Their core body heat runs hotter than the normal human because they're getting such an overloading of the animal hormones, including what's the fight or flight hormone? Adrenaline.
Very interesting. Adrenaline, yep.
So the Eskimos run warmer, you know, like your dog. They're running warmer because of the hormones that they're getting from the animals that they eat. It's so sad to me, and that's why I was so irritated. And I apologize to Lori and everybody else for saying bullshit. But that's what it is. I'm so tired of it. When you get these stories, they're all programmed to benefit the industry. Please, figure it out. Weston Price, Sally Fallon, the National Beef Growers Association paid their passage.
Let me tell you a little story about Weston Price. There was a local farmer that I went to when I lived closer to his farm. I'm a little far away right now from this particular operation, but beautiful place. It's a 400-acre farm. It's been in the family for over 100 years. You know, the great-grandparents passed it down to the grandparents, to the parents, to the son, and who's now got kids, and they're teenagers. So it's a family farm, generational. Beautiful operation. He let the neighbors come over and grab a little raw milk once in a while. And didn't make a business out of it. Of course, the milk's not pasteurized. And he was told by the head of Ag and Markets in New York State that that's okay. If you're not doing it on a big scale and it's just, you know, your friends and family, so to speak, you know, not a big deal. You don't have to go through all the permitting required to, quiet down, boys, to sell raw milk. Okay, so he even had the thumbs up from the communist government. And Weston Price went into a policy of outing farmers who were, you know, making some raw milk available to you know, just their immediate, you know, people, so to speak, friends and family. And because they got to stick up their, you know what, so far, that they couldn't get it, they wanted to force the farmers who didn't want to go through the nightmare of permitting and inspections from Ag and Markets and the cost and all this stuff. The farm was clean. It was perfectly good farm. You know, the milk, raw milk was awesome. I never got sick from it. I was healthy, real healthy when I drank it. Raw milk does have a lot of properties in it that are beneficial. I have a feeling Tom will say the downside is stronger than the upside. I'll entertain that and take that argument into consideration. But anyway, Weston Price started outing organic farmers who were making raw milk available without the permit so they could so the masses of people from the city could come out. And their reasoning was, well, you know, we all need this, so we're going to make you go into the system when they didn't want to go into the system, and they shouldn't go into the system. Should be no reason a farmer should have to go get per extra. He already was a licensed dairy farmer. You know, well, he's supplying major food companies with their milk for sour cream and cottage cheese and everything else. So the farm, he was already on the books, so to speak. He was already certified organic by the state of New York and went through all the hoops he had to jump through to run his business. On top of that, Weston Price said, well, we want to get your raw milk, too, so you better go get the permit. We're going to turn you into the pigs if you don't get that permit. And I thought that was disgusting. It was reminiscent of, you know, threatening the homosexuals with we're gonna out you in the newspaper if you don't do this or that. And they use it as a control file and as a controlling mechanism, you know, it's just hardcore totalitarianism. And the mindset, I mean, look, if a farmer doesn't want to go through a permit and he wants to make raw milk available to whoever asks him for it, pretty much, that was cool and great. God bless him. you know, why should he have to go through the nightmare of dealing with New York State all over again, even though he was already paying his state tax, his federal tax, his certified organic inspections? Everything he had, you know, all the inspections for the farm were done. They want to send these farmers through a whole other series of hoops and permits and licensing fees and requirements and money and spot inspections at 4:30 or 5 in the morning. It's ungodly. So I don't blame them. Stay out of the system. Fly under the radar. You know, make a little raw. It wasn't doing it on a big level. And the head of Ag and Markets wants it, which is agricultural and markets. They're the kind of the communist dictatorship over the farms in New York State. They have nothing to do with food safety. It's all to do with totalitarian control, shutting down the small guy. Even they said it was cool. And Weston Price said, nah, we're gonna blow you in. And then one of the inspectors that apparently didn't get the word through the grapevine properly came out and gave him a 5 in the morning inspection. Nobody was to, let's just say there was pushback on that, and that was the last time anybody ever came over hassling him for making raw milk available. Once again, he's never made anybody sick. There's never been a complaint lodged against his product. Everybody loves it. The people who want to drink raw milk should be able to. Tom wants to make a case against it. I'd love to hear it because I want to hear both sides, all sides. We don't want to get angry. Wes, I appreciate your call, but we got to just, you know, realize that Tom's not telling you have to do anything. He's just suggesting to people, look, here's what he knows as a pathologist and a former person who worked for, former man who worked for Merck. Tom's been in it. So he's speaking from experience. He's not just shooting from the hip from what he read off the internet. So beware of what you read on the internet, take it with a grain of salt, look into both sides, all sides. Realize that these organizations like Weston Price really suck. They're outing raw milk or organic farmers for, you know, having a little raw milk available. And what's the problem? Nobody's ever got sick from it that they can document. Okay, so and if people want to drink it, they should be, God bless them. So I don't like Weston Price. That's a scummy, stinky, disgusting way to treat the farmers who are just trying to eke out a living as best they can. And believe me, you don't make a ton of money anymore farming. And the government sets it up that way with all this crap that you have to go through with more permits that Weston Price wants you to get so they can come out and get it too. Well, look, you know, go meet yourself a farmer. I ran into the guy by, you know, searching out to buy local product, local fish, local chicken, locally raised non-GMO fed, grass-fed beef. You know, as clean as a product as I could find. And people need to start doing their own due diligence. I lived in the city. I didn't have any farmer's privilege card or anything that got me in with the local boys. And I just started talking to the farmers, you know, and people who were in the organic growing business and realized, hey, wow, this is where the good beef is. This is where the good chicken is. This is where the good sausage is. And if you're careful, I think you can get away with eating some meat, but it's up to the person. It's up to the man or woman to make their own choice. Yes, Lori, go ahead.
That's why we're a republic. We can make these decisions on our own, and our farmers should not be so heavily regulated. We also have Chris on the line, too, after the break. He may have something to add. I'm not sure if he went to the...
Fantastic. Wow, sounds good. Good point, Lori. This is why we are a republic, and I say it every night. We are not a democracy. We're a republic. The difference is huge. We have Chris coming up on the line as well. Thanks for staying with us tonight on Resurrect Republic on the RBN Network. We'll be right back.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles? Improved vision? Improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, crossed the sea of years. With no provisions, but in all places, Lord, the straits of fear.
Oh. Welcome back. Welcome back to Resurrect the Democracy. Oh. Ooh. Whoops. Oh. I mean Resurrect the Republic. Okay, it is Resurrect the Republic. It is the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am Eric the Freedom Screamer. We got Tom and Chris. Welcome to the show tonight. How are you doing tonight, Chris, in Vegas?
Fairly well, as a matter of fact. I was talking to Tom in the background, and, you know, that West from Idaho, sometimes he comes up with some good information, but he has a really nasty habit of calling up and harassing, trying to take command of the show, trying to just insult and be vitriolic to really wise and experienced guys. You know, for Christ's sakes, Tom, being the truth warrior he is, got blinded by him to grind their axe in him. You know, it's just insane to be a truth terrorist and to insinuate that somebody's tripe from the 1930s is more scientific than the knowledge that the pathologist brought to the table is an absurd position. It's not founded on any fact or evidence other than his own delusions.
Well, I know.
You got it?
Be perfectly, yeah, no, that's a great point, Chris. Thank you for standing up for Tom. We knew that Wes was likes to be a little confrontational with Tom, but
a little.
Listen to this, folks. Listeners, listen up. To Tom's credit, we knew Wes was on the line, and I was going to maybe, like, wait till the end of the program, or I didn't want to submit Tom to any, you know, Spanish Inquisition-type you know, drilling and but, you know, Tom said, bring it, you know, let, you know, no problem. So to Tom's credit, he was very willing to talk with Wes and debate or argue or however you want to put it, or put up with the criticism and that he does. And, you know, so Tom, to your credit, you know, you knew Wes was there. You knew what he was going to say pretty much, and you dealt with it very well. So thank you for that, and thank you, Chris, for the kind words and support of Tom. You know, once again, we can all come from different points of view. I'm not going to give up eating meat tomorrow because of Tom's interview tonight. I'm not going to feel that, and I'm not going to feel threatened by his information. I feel empowered by it. I understand where he's coming from. It certainly firms up my stance against vaccinations, which we're going to talk about for this last half hour.
Hey, wait a minute.
I'm going to handle my meat better. I'm going to keep the, you know, back to the way I used to eat, which is about, when I was healthiest, it was almost exclusively, you know, like, of course I had the egg in there, but I went for a long time without eating any actual meat. I did eat eggs and cheese, so I had, you know, protein content coming from that. But I just, you know, I just feel that meat is, I want it to be a part of my diet, but the cleanest meat possible in the smallest amount necessary where I feel, you know, I'm not, you know, undernourished or have a lack of protein. So, you know, because it requires eating quite a bit of food and a variety of things to get all the protein you need from a vegetable diet. Although we talked about it last night, Simple Ezekiel bread has all the 9 essential amino acids required for life and 18 other ones. So, you know, I guess, you know, God, once again, God gave us everything. Take unto thee wheat, millet, spelt, oats, lentils, and barley, and put it in one vessel and make bread of it. So we got a little music now in the background.
Yeah, somebody's phone rang. Hello.
So anyway, you know, once again, thanks for putting up with Wes. Wes, thanks for putting up with us. Everybody can have their own point of view and still get along. My own personal self is safer handling of the meat. Absolutely no vaccinations ever. Try to get the complete protein as much from vegetable, beans, rice, corn, as sources as possible. But, you know, if I got to fill it in with some fish or some clean chicken locally raised once in a while on the non-GMO feed, I'll try to get that. And it's usually cheap. You end up finding some local Amish or Mennonite person who's kind of more of a purist than most people, or an organic farmer. They don't have to be Amish or Mennonite, but I noticed most of the Amish and Mennonites are cleaner than your typical farmer. It's a little harder to find organic, you know, natural feed farmers in the common community, so to speak. You know, the majority of the people who aren't Amish or Mennonite. But anyway, so, you know, we can all do our thing and still get along, you know. But I'm learning a lot from this, and I'll tell you, you know, I'm gonna, you know, look at the meat supply and the animal, you know, products, you know, very, very strictly from now on. You know, I'd rather eat a vegetable diet than eat contaminated meat, obviously. But, so, you know, we come from different points of view, and I just value the information that Tom has. I love hearing what the reasoning is behind eating a vegetarian diet. You know, I want to know how he came to these conclusions. This is helpful, you know. It might be something as I get older, I get into more. We'll see. But it can never hurt to have the more information, the better. Tom obviously has no agenda with us tonight. He's not coming trying to sell you something. He's strictly sharing what he knows from being a pathologist and a researcher and scientist for Merck and an activist, and he's been in and out of court helping people. He's done all kinds of stuff. So once again, back to you, Tom. Let's get right into where we left off on the vaccine issue was there's God's control is the natural contact that we have with the animals. It does not need to be injected into us through toxins that come from a needle loaded with animal flesh and animal products. Can you get back to that, Tom?
Well, let me just sidestep for a minute. I got to deal with you.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, Chris. As soon as you're done down there in Las Vegas or wherever, you and I are taking a trip up to New York, and we're going to take a mean stick to that Eric and get him all straightened out. How's that for a deal?
Perfect. I love going anywhere with you, Tom.
Yeah. Anyway, Eric, I just got to tell you this. You remember you were saying, well, you got to eat this and this, and you got to buy this kind of food, this kind of... Of course, I'm choking right now as you keep saying go and buy organic eggs and stuff like that, because if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't do that.
Right.
But if you see what I see, you wouldn't do that.
Let's say this. Is it possible to have healthy eggs or cheese or meat, or is it just completely out of the realm of possibility? And is that because of modern, we're so far down the road into contamination, or because it's inherently bad to begin with?
Okay, yeah, let me make a link here. In history, we didn't have vaccines, and so you were inoculated or made immune through natural processes.
Yep.
What happened at the turn of the century or shortly thereafter? We interfered with the natural immunity processes. The first thing that was really evil pushed upon the mothers was the nursing issue. See, I hate to talk to you, man. Lori, I hope you're still listening. You'll appreciate this. And all the ladies should appreciate this. Find out what a great miracle they are. See, in history, children were naturally immunized by their mother. How did that happen? The mother brought this baby out of her body. By the way, that body was sterile. That baby was sterile because of the protection of the uterus and the placenta, the thick layers of immune system around that womb kept that baby sterile. No matter what the mother did in terms of bacteria, none of her bacteria ever reached that child unless there was a serious insult to her uterus and womb. Some of the viruses, of course, can make their way through. They're pretty nasty little critters that can make their way through very tiny spaces in tissue. But a child in history was born basically sterile, but the first experience it had in taking any nutrients into its body was like a baby calf. It wrapped its mouth around the teat of the tit in the... Sorry to talk plain terms, but I got to do this. A newborn baby is put upon the breast of its mother, and the first thing it does after it's got through its crying phase, it starts to nuzzle around and look for that nipple of its mom. And it then wraps its lips around the nipple and starts to draw. What's in the milk? What's the first thing that comes out of a woman's breast? Is it milk? No, it's colostrum. What is colostrum? Got an answer for me, Eric? Really short. It's that immunization of the mother giving it to her child. And from that point on, that child survives against the bacteria of the mother and the environment because of the mother's immune system. And of course, then as the child begins to mature, it's still nursing from its mother. And here's the real miracle of miracles. The areola, part of that woman's breast, the brown spot around the nipple, is like a super perfect laboratory. It takes and examines the saliva of that baby, and it tells the mother's body what antibodies it needs. It also tells the mother's body which chemicals it needs for the full development of that baby's liver and the rest of its chemistry. What happened about the 30s and the 40s? Medicine came along with the vaccine program, but at the same time, what were they doing to motherhood? Do any of you men know? Any women?
Simultaneously telling women to join the workforce and don't have babies and go to the medical system instead of go to nature and get away from God and go back and trust the government and the whole litany of things. It seemed to happen simultaneously. That's a great point, Tom. The natural, once again, in God's creation, all the stimulations for the immune system that are sold to us through vaccines would come to you through nature, like Tom said, through petting your dog, through a mother breastfeeding, through common contact that wasn't unnatural. You build antibodies and you build immunities. And so that's really, quote unquote, your vaccination right there. Your immunities are stimulated by nature and the contact that you have with other humans and animals.
Is Lori still on?
I think Lori might still be with us. Lori, did you want to comment, Lori?
Lori
may have dropped off.
See, what really began the plague of disease, chronic disease, in America and in the Western world was when the medical profession said, here's a box or a bottle full of cow's milk processed in a way to give to your child. And we took the baby away from the nursing mother and put it on Pablum or put it on Infamil or Similac or something artificial to the baby. So what's missing in that artificial food for the baby? The antibodies of the mother. So now we have to immunize the child because it's no longer being immunized or inoculated by its mother. Now we got to put the needle in that baby's body, bypass that perfect process of the mother's breast milk and natural immunity. But then in the process, we set up that baby for things like, are you ready for this, Wes? MS, lupus, diabetes number 1 and 2 down the line. Everything that's an autoimmune disease begins when we pull that child away from the mother's bosom and we replace that bosom with artificial food and the vaccine. Oh, man, I wish I had hours to take you through this. The great evil was perpetuated upon us, and the medical community knows. They know damn well that the best way to provide health for the human being is leave it on the bosom of its mother and then let it have a dog or a cat, okay? Let them pet the chickens or handle the chickens like my children do. By the way, Eric, I got to tell you a little secret. I was a dairy farmer. And guess what kind of dairy I operated?
Oh, boy. Milk?
Raw milk dairy. And I had to license. I had to go through all kinds of hell dealing with the Utah Dairy Farmers Association and the good old federal government. And like Lori was saying, we've taken away the privilege and the rights to free agency. We force the natural farmers. You know, I don't know how the Amish do it. In fact, by the way, I was taken to the Amish community there in Indiana, and I explained to them why their babies were dying, and they were not too happy. The men were not happy because I was telling them that the diphtheria that was killing their children that year is about 2000. It was 2000. I was there in 1999. I got to spend New Year's Eve with the Amish. And I was explaining to them why their babies were dying, and that's because there was a virulent strain of diphtheria in their dairy cows. But, you know, periodically those things happen. I don't care how toughly, naturally immunized your kids. Once in a while, they will become a virulent strain. That's because of this mixing of organisms that come across the entire world through the flight paths of the birds. You know, like I'd mentioned, the other day when I was talking to Dr. Bill, I'd reminded them of the Aleutian flight lane and the North Atlantic. So periodically, even though children are naturally immunized, they may lose their life, like they've done in history, to a nasty strain that shows up, and then it passes. You know, the virulent strains do not stay in the system very long, because if they kill the host, they don't move on.
Right.
You know, it's in history, babies were breastfed. They also lived among the animals that the children got to handle them before they ever ended up butchering them. See, in the FFA, right, the Future Farmers of America programs, the children are given a pig and they raise that pig. So they're handling that pig and they're being immunized, inoculated by that pig in that process. But then when they get a little older, then, okay, their pig has got the blue ribbon, now they butcher the pig. Well, thank goodness they raised that pig like you handled your dog. So when they butchered that pig, by that time their body was prepared for any of the organisms that might be presented to them through the blood and raw tissues of that pig.
Right.
That's why man has survived, because he's lived with the animals. He's been inoculated by them naturally. And then, of course, we don't let children generally slaughter animals, so they don't get exposure to the live organisms until after they've already been exposed to the dead ones on their skin. Does that make sense?
Bingo, yeah, you hit it right. That's very easy to understand, yep. Natural inoculation comes from interaction with nature, period, or good, back to organic natural living. Boy, what a better, more of a better case could you make? The people who are, you know, whether it's by choice or by, you know, they really just kind of stuck there, you know, trapped in a city environment, so to speak, with no contact with animals and the apartments that don't allow pets and no dogs allowed and no, you know, all your food is processed and prepackaged, God knows where. You know, many overseas, even worse than the stuff that comes domestically. So, yeah, but I will say this, you know, pray hard and God will deliver you out to a natural place where your health will flourish more abundantly than it does in the contaminated environment. So there it is, natural inoculations through natural contact with nature. I can remember, gosh, a guy I know real well, his wife was a germ fanatic. I mean, she would literally follow, you know, just about follow people around through the house, spraying bleach every footstep they made. The house was absolutely immaculate. You could eat off the floor. Other than the chemicals she used to clean, you know, and the place was just, she was such a germaphobe, and that you know, don't let the kids have any contact with animals, don't have any, you know, just spray this, wash that, bleach this, disinfect that, antibacterial soap and the triclosan and all the horrible chemicals that destroy your immune system that are in the antibacterial products. And their very next baby had, spina bifida, I think it was, you know, and I just couldn't help but think that this environment and the family and the people were not naturally immune because they were so afraid of germs. Germs are your friend if you don't abuse it and you don't get the wrong ones too deep into your system. I mean, is that not just a common man's way of putting it, Tom?
Yes. Now I'm going to shock you again. In the process of running my organic dairy, now this, believe me, at the same time, I'm up at the university working on my pathology issues, be it veterinary or human or pediatric. I'm running an organic dairy. In a way, I should have been kind of kicked in the head because I still understood that the pathogens that bother man come out of the animals. And I was running my organic dairy, but because of the law, I had to medicate my animals. And by the way, every calf, and I don't care whether they're organically certified or not, every calf, every beast in the United States of America has to be vaccinated. Every calf, every bull, every chicken, forget it. In America, you have to medicate your animals, even though you're running an organic farm. So here I am running my organic raw milk dairy, selling it off to the doctors in the community. My primary clients were doctors, of course, many of my fellows in the industry. But I'm going to tell you this thing that does need to be exposed. In the process of me running this organic dairy, I was drinking raw milk. I was giving raw milk to my children. But because I was forced to by the state government and by the federal government to give my cows antibiotics, and I was going through a 55-gallon drum of tetracycline or bacillin K, you name it, I would cycle through the antibiotics and give them to my organic cows by law. Otherwise, they would shut me down like they would shut down any dairy. Thank you, Weston Price, right? Did you get that?
Yeah, I did.
I ended up with an infection in my cattle that were multi-drug resistant, MDR, and I produced MDR streptococcus A. I did not know that until I got my reports back from the state labs, but in the meantime, I had already given that milk to my children, and my one daughter developed a serious infection, ear infection, and when she went to the pediatrician, we were forced to take her up to the university. My dear friend, who I'd worked with in the past, he tried to treat her with antibiotics for this ear infection. Well, guess what? None of the antibiotics worked. You know why? Because they were the same antibiotics I'd already given to my herd.
Right, and the herd had built up a resistance to those antibiotics because none of them are perfect. None of them kill all the bad bacteria. There's a fraction, a percentage that becomes resistant to that, so that switch will move on to the next antibiotic. And then that one doesn't kill all the bad bacteria. It makes a few more resistant. See this, folks? They're building stronger germs and bacteria through forced medication of livestock that's going to transfer into your family, into your children, and they're going to have the same strain-resistant diseases that are resistant to the same antibiotics. So when they get to the hospital, there may be nothing left there to kill that infection. And this is why we have to leave well enough alone and let our animals be healthy with the ones that are healthy, and the ones that were sick will die. And you don't eat the sick animals. And if you want to eat raw, it was the government interference and the intervention that really ruined the animal products. So I can see that's why. You know, it's any government control over the food supply is going to lead to this. And this is why we just have to let people do their thing, let the marketplace dictate. People are going to know where the crappy food is and the bad bacteria food and the nasty farms if they're in a position of dealing with the farmers who they purchase from. This is why I like to see where my chickens run. I can see where my eggs are grown. I can see how the animals are treated. I can see, you know, I can tell you a lot of farmers are not vaccinating their livestock. But if you're a big business livestock, and to stay in good with the government, I guess you got to jump through the hoops. And I can understand why. I don't blame you for that. Tom, join us one more time tomorrow if you can. We got so much to talk about. I don't think another night would do us any harm. I think it would only do us and our listeners some good. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Sorry we're up against the end, but join us tomorrow night again on Resurrect the Republic. Thank you, Tom, so much. Thank you, Chris, for being so patient. We'll try to get you in a little more tomorrow.
Thank you, Tom.
Have a good night, folks. Appreciate everything, and we'll see you tomorrow on Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.